I'm Alan Alda, and this episode of Ear Hustle may contain some language that's inappropriate for some people, so discretion is advised. But do listen.
There's a lone man struggling to walk across a frozen tundra. Each step is labor-intensive. The wind, it's whipping. Lightning. In a world where care packages were sent directly from home, and everyone had a knife, even if it meant hiding it in their butts. Porn. It was sent through the mail.
The mail.
You are now tuning in to San Quentin's Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia. I am Rahsaan New York Thomas, a resident of San Quentin State Prison in California, serving a life sentence for second-degree murder.
I'm Nigel Poor. I've been working here with the guys at San Quentin for about 8 years now.
And together, we're going to take you inside
and back out post-incarceration.
On this episode, we're staying inside the walls of San Quentin, and we're talking about something near to my heart.
And something that gets talked about on Ear Hustle a lot. So we figured it deserved its own episode.
We're going to hear some stories about mail.
Letters.
Packages.
Anything the post might deliver. And we're going to hear guys read some favorite letters they've received.
That's what's up.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare.
All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So, New York.
Yes.
I am standing in line at the post office near my house. It's a really long line. And the guy behind me says, "Are you here to buy stamps?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm buying stamps." And he's like, "Don't worry, I'm just going to give you some." And
wait a minute.
I know.
Give away stamps?
Yes. I was like, "No, that's okay. I'm going to buy some." I don't know. And he was like really pressing me. No, don't buy them. I'm going to give them to you. And so in my mind, I'm like, why does he want to give me stamps? He's super insistent. And so he finally says, "You know what? Just go out to the car and ask my girl out there to give you some stamps." So at this point, I just felt like kind of embarrassed. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go do it. So I got online. I went out to this car and there's this woman sitting there. And I was like, I know this sounds crazy, but the guy inside said, just come out here and ask you for stamps. And she opened up her glove compartment and there were so many books of stamps in there. She's like, sure, here, take it. So she gave me a book of stamps. I said, thank you. And I started to walk away, but the guy that was inside came out and we started talking. And I realize there are two places where you're going to find a lot of stamps. One is the post office.
And the other
is in prison. And so I realized this guy must have just gotten out of prison. So we started chit-chatting, and yes, that was the case.
It sounds like an awesome guy.
He was like a friendly teddy bear.
How come you didn't have him send me a couple of books? Nah, I need stamps.
Hey, man, I was not going to get greedy.
All right, fair enough. But it is true. If you walk up to anybody in prison, mm-hmm. most likely they got stamps.
Right.
All right? Stamps are very valuable. They're like our currency in prison because we can't have cash. We can't have dollar bills and nickels and dimes and quarters and anything like
right,
that. All
right.
That is contraband. So we rely on stamps. Officially, we're allowed to have 2 books, 40 stamps.
Mm-hmm.
So when you ran into that guy in the post office, he had way more than that. He had to be stacking stamps.
Right. So all this got me thinking, how much is a stamp worth in prison? And don't answer New York, okay? because we got Eric Womack to tell us.
Eric's been in prison for about 25 years. He's seen it all.
And he told us what a guy can get for a single stamp.
Anything that costs money.
Like what?
You can get coffee, you can get food, a stamp, they're worth the noodle. Even though they cost 45 cents, it's just how the currency go.
One soup, one stamp?
One soup.
Okay.
And a shot of coffee if you want to. Now we have coffee that goes for a soup. So if I wanted to go to the coffee man, I can get either coffee or a noodle.
So one stamp gets you a shot of instant coffee or a package of soup. Not bad.
Well, not bad if you like Folgers. Folgers is the most popular coffee in this prison.
Would you say it's the best way to wake up with Folgers in your cup?
I think that's a freaking rumor, Nige.
Well, honestly, I have not had Folgers nor the soup because, as we've said many times on this podcast, volunteers and free staff like me are not allowed to share food with the guys inside or actually anything. I can't even give you a stamp.
Nope, nothing.
But stamps aren't just currency. They're also used as, you know, stamps.
We are the last people that write. Nobody writes anymore on the streets. It's text messages or a computer or a laptop. We are the only people that write. Pen and paper, it's going to be in a museum.
How many letters do you write, like a month or something?
When I was first arrested, I wrote a few times a day, all week long.
A few times a day?
Yes.
Whoa. So how many letters were you putting in the mail?
Probably about four or five. You know, y'all got...
A day?
A day.
How many were you getting back?
It's the same amount. I got a mother, I got five sisters, I got a daughter, friends. I have every letter anybody's ever wrote me since 94 of January.
Wow.
Whoa. Well, so how many letters do you have?
A ton. I put a rubber band around stacks of them and put them in folders and plastic bags.
So are they some of your most prized possessions?
Oh, yeah. I can see everybody growing up while I was stuck in here. Like I say, my daughter had a Lion King bike with a Lion King helmet when I first came to prison. She has two kids now.
When she was 12, Eric's daughter sent him a Father's Day card. On the front, there's a polar bear rocking some shades and sipping lemonade.
The claws of the polar bear are painted pink with glitter, so it's kind of a girly bear. And on the front of the card, it says, "What makes such a cool daughter?"
And on the inside, it answers that with, "A way cool dad, of course. Happy Father's Day."
Nice.
Now, also written in the card, it says, "I love you and I will never forget you. You are my only father, and it will stay that way always." She also sent me a picture, and she wrote this inside the card, too. It says, "This picture where my tongue is out is because my friends made me laugh."
Hey, Dad, I miss you around here.
This is Tim Hicks reading a letter from his son, Josh.
The letter also mentions Josh's brother, Deontay.
Mama told me you was in the school. Dad, I know you are in jail. Mama don't know that Deontay told me. He said you was doing something bad. I'm 10 now, Dad. Mama gave me a party. Dad, I love you, and no matter what, you will always be the best dad. Deontay said he loved you too. Love, Josh. Like, damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had lied to him and told him that I was in college, away. But when he bust me out, and you know, and I was like, I just had to I dropped a couple tears on that, you know, like, shit, he found out, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, you know? So I can't lie to him no more.
And mail call, that was kitchen. I said, T67383. He said, "You got mail." I said, "Thank you." You guys don't know what that means to me. I'm smiling right now because, man.
This is Terry Kitchen. He loves getting mail now, but he felt differently about it years ago when he first went to juvie.
I got a visit at the juvenile hall center, and I told all my family members, I said, if you guys want to write me, then write me once a year. You know, that'll still, you know, make me happy. Or anytime you go to the gas station, pick up a card and say, just thinking of you. I was 14.
A few years later, Kitchen was transferred to his first adult prison, High Desert.
It's near the Nevada border. And for those of us in the system, it has a reputation.
When I first arrived at High Desert, I was 18 years old. And it says, welcome to High Drama State Prison. Once you're here, you never leave. The yard was a place where there's no such thing as fist fights. It's all about stabbing. So the tension was always thick in the air. It was just bad. There was like a war zone.
Kitchen had one mental escape from the constant violence, cartoons.
He told us when he was a little kid, he never watched much TV because he was always outside playing.
But as soon as I got locked up, I watched all the cartoons from Bart Simpson to Superhero Static Shock, Bugs Bunny and all that. It made me feel like I was still a kid, even though I had to grow up real fast to, you know, survive.
One day, Kitchen's beloved TV broke.
But in prison, there's usually a fix-it man for this kind of thing.
I hear that.
Yep. You can always trade something to get something done.
And once he was done fixing it, he put it outside my cell door.
A correction officer walked in the tier, saw it, and then...
he took my TV. That kind of set me over. And I said, I'm going to ask him to give me back my TV, but I'm telling you right now, if this dude don't give me back my TV, I might do something stupid.
Kitchen was hot.
Yeah, but the CO had every right to confiscate the TV because it shouldn't have been out on the tier, and Kitchen knew that.
He damn sure should have.
But losing his TV was the last straw. He was going to confront the CO and demand his TV back.
And getting in the CO's face is something you really don't want to do.
I was just fed up. I wanted, you know, this whole environment that I was going through at the time to just end. They're going to kill me. Most likely they'll kill me. I made my peace with that. I'm about to write my sister, say my goodbyes. I just wanted them to, you know that I love them. I tried. So.
Not long after Kitchen mailed his letter, he got one back.
This letter is from my sister, Maisha. Wednesday, March 16th, 2005. I'm not going to do my normal greeting. I'm going to get right to the point. You are not going to die in there no matter what you are thinking about right now. We will never give up on you, and you better not either. Remember, God won't put on us more than we can bear. I could not help but cry when I heard the words in your letter and seeing how you were thinking. Things will get better no matter what you are saying now. You will come home. When you do, I want to hear out of your mouth. You was right, my best beautiful sister in the whole wide world. Okay, so practice that, because I want to hear those exact words. Love you, always, big sis.
By now, it should be clear. Mail is absolutely essential in prison for maintaining relationships with loved ones. Mail is sacred.
Keep that in mind as we go back to Eric, the guy who told us about how much stamps are worth. He talked to us about a cellie who did something so weird.
For real.
That Eric still doesn't know what to make of it.
Nige, I don't know what to make of it.
It's a total head scratcher.
About a year ago, Eric went to the hospital for a heart problem. And when he got back, 6 days later, his cellie told him he was moving out.
I said, all right, you're leaving. Okay. I ain't think nothing of it. So I said, well, you know, I always told my people, if you don't hear from me in 7 days, something is wrong. So I go call my people. My little sister, she told me what was going on. I couldn't believe it. He actually went through my mail, took my sister's address, and wrote my people.
So you were in the hospital.
Yeah.
He went through your mail.
Through my property.
Took letters. He got the address of your sister.
Yeah.
And he started writing to them.
He sent her an 8-page letter back to back, double-sided paper.
crazy long letter.
Eight pages. But basically trying to get at her and ask for money and slander.
Yeah, what did he want?
He's trying to make them don't mess with me, and he wrote all types of lies. He told them everybody's after me. I owe everybody. He told them I was gay and just made everything he can make up.
What the heck? He was hoping that they would reject you or something, and then he new family?
I don't know. It was so crazy to me, too. I don't know what the justification for it was or what was his goal, but it just was so bizarre to steal somebody's stuff and to contact their people. In prison is a death sentence.
Eric had an honest-to-God, real prison dilemma on his hands.
Yeah, this was very serious.
Mm-hmm.
In prison, you're expected to enforce the rules. I'm talking about penitentiary justice here. The unwritten code that most guys feel they have to follow, whether they agree with it or not.
I wanted to do something seriously because I was so overwhelmed with emotions and so much, you know, disrespect. I'm mad. I had to really think in my heart and say, what you want to do? Do you want to go with the penitentiary police system? Or do you just want to just leave it alone?
Did you feel pressure from other people to respond with the penitentiary rule?
Yes. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, kept on saying. And, you know, like, I've been in prison 25 years. So the only thing I could think of is, if I do this, I'm never getting out. They're going to say, you mean to tell me you jumped on a guy because he wrote your people? Why didn't you just go to the police? It messed with me a lot. It kind of hurt me. I cried because I didn't want to do nothing. And my partner told me, said, it's wrong what he did. Leave it alone.
So, New York, what happens when someone doesn't enforce penitentiary justice? And how come Eric didn't have to?
Well, San Quentin is a prison where it's not as turned up. In other words, it's safer here than in other institutions.
Mm-hmm.
But normally in prison, respect is the only thing that protects you.
Mm.
If they don't respect you, it's open season.
So you're going to be bullied, basically?
Heck yeah. Everybody would be getting at you, feeling like you're not going to defend yourself.
Yep.
There's not going to be any repercussions. But I'm with Eric, though, like, either way, because I'd rather have the respect of my family than have the respect of a bunch of people in the prison yard.
Right.
Had Eric done something crazy, he would never go home.
So I was really frustrated, but for what I did, this was the best weapon I could use. I told everybody that I met. Hey, you know that guy I was in the cell with? He's a dirtbag. He took mail from my set, it's not laying out, and wrote my people. And that, of the shame of just that, was worse. You know, so everybody kind of like cut him off.
We really tried to get this guy on to tell us his side of the story.
He wouldn't talk to us about nothing.
Nope, nothing.
Nada.
We'll be right back after the break.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed from episodes across NPR podcasts that center Black voices. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
It would take me several drafts for one paragraph, you know? It was a construction rather than writing a letter. It was a composition. I would compose and arrange. It was an arrangement. It was like I was a symphonic type of fella.
This is Orrin Hutson, a.k.a. Artwork. We heard from him at the top of the podcast talking about the lone man struggling to walk across the frozen tundra.
I don't know what to call him. A performer? A storyteller?
I call him an artist and a comedian. And he's incarcerated here at San Quentin. And he's a character.
Absolutely.
He told us about his unusual way of writing letters.
You learn to respect the paper. So what you do is you take a pencil, you know, you whittle it down, and you get it to its finest point, and you write extremely lightly. All uppercase, very clear, very neat, you know. Now from there, then I would trace over it with ink, and then I would erase the pencil, you know. Then I'd write a paragraph, I'll stop, a couple more paragraphs, because you don't want no accidents, because it doesn't take you 17 days to get a whole page, you know what I mean? So it's crucial that you get things correct.
So describe, like, the perfect letter.
I don't know what the perfect letter is. I just told you I'm single. I ain't figured that shit out yet. You find out, tell me. Shit.
So, Artwork is single. A lot of guys court women through letters, but he hasn't gotten his dance card filled yet. New York, I'm going to turn that question back on you. What is the perfect letter?
I don't know what the perfect letter is. I have a few lady friends that write me, but I'm stuck in the friend zone with all of them. I can't get out the friend zone to the end zone.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
But at least they write me back.
And you know what? With every new letter, there's hope.
Because you don't open a letter saying, hey, I ain't never getting out of jail. Can you still love me anyway? You know what I mean? You open a letter with optimistic stuff, you know? You go over everything. You go your favorite color, your favorite music, what your political leanings are. You go over all this stuff, but eventually it always get back down to, well, nigga, when you getting out? A lot of guys would lie. You know, they say, oh, baby, I'll see you in a year, you know, and in a year, well, I got in trouble. They gave me 18 more months, and they just drag her along. You know what I mean?
So, Jesse, how long have you been in prison?
So now it's 18 years, almost and a half.
Jesse Vasquez doesn't have to drag anyone along anymore. His sentence was recently commuted, and he's about to leave San Quentin.
That lucky mother sucker. And when a commutation happens, the press will usually cover it. And sometimes they put your pitch in the paper.
That's what happened to Jesse, and it opened the floodgates.
That's when the first letter came. You know, it's like this automatic dating service, you know? As soon as they said that I was going to go home, right? All of a sudden, I start getting all these letters. I got like six of them now.
From six different women that are excited that you're getting out.
Yeah.
The letters were from women he used to know, from fifth grade all the way to high school.
Now, all these women are coming out of the woodwork hoping to support you and be with you.
Well, it sounds like they want to actually do more than support me, you know? So all these letters, they all got pictures in them. And the pictures that they were sending me, they were just like, oh, well, here's me when I was an ugly duckling, and here's what you're looking for now. This is what you can have when you get home, you know? Kind of an advertisement type thing, right? I'm like, damn.
So they're like sexy pictures.
Yeah. So I get this letter from one girl, and it was 12 pages long, front and back, talking about how she missed me. But I ain't seen her since I was 15 years old. I ain't heard from her since I was 15 years old.
And so what was in the letter?
Well, for one, you know, she said that, oh, you know, I saw your pictures, you know, when they did the commutation. And she said, oh, you're cute, you know, and maybe we could hook up when you get out. Mm. I'm like, all right, cool. But then it's like the heartache I've been through. She got like 4 or 5 kids, right? The kids ain't got no dad, you know, I've been struggling. And, you know, maybe you can help, you know, when you get out. So that was one. Then the other one I get. And
there's another
like,
woman.
Yeah, there's another one. And I'm like, man, who the hell is this, right? So I look at the picture, right? I'm like, okay, well, she ain't too bad looking, right? But at the same time, I'm not looking. You know, so I'm thinking,
but to be polite, of course, he reads the letter.
And everything looks cool. She's stable. She isn't looking for someone to help her with her kids. So he writes her back.
I sent the letter out. I get a letter about a month later, you know, a response. You know, and now it's like, hey, well, you know what? You can come stay with me on the weekends and we can hang out. And then I'm thinking, okay, no, that's not going to work for me. You know, that's just overstepping, you know, my boundaries, right, about healthy friendships and stuff like that. Especially, you know, you haven't seen me for about 18 years and a half.
This is a letter from my girl. Quick little note, you see the pink writing, pink, red, purple, black.
And this is Kirk Davis.
This is how the letter starts. Now, if I slap the fuck out of you, I'm gonna be wrong. Bitch, you better call me now. You know I'm crazy. You got 5 seconds to pick up a damn pen, pencil, marker, crayon, some type of lead, hit a motherfucking paper, tissue, soap, something. Send a sign from God. Wish upon the damn stars. Oh my God, I'm finna cuss your stupid ass out soon as you call me. I ain't heard from you since last week. Like the fuck going on? Are you okay? And if you is and just not calling me, I will slap you smooth the fuck out of your Nikes. I wish I could slap you so hard. Your ass is grass and I'm the lawnmower. Bitch, why the fuck haven't you called me? I'ma fucking flip my wig if you don't call me in the next 3 days. So by Saturday, or I promise, bitch, I'ma beat you up. But I love you and miss you. I love you, Daddy. Yo, te amo, papi. Love, shrimp. She be serious, too. It didn't happen before. She is kind of crazy, if you can tell by the letter.
Why didn't you call?
Oh, we was on lockdown. We was on lockdown, couldn't get on the phone, and she ain't know. And then I get this. I start reading, and I'm just sitting there smiling, laughing, cracking up. I like it. I feel like that's a lot of love right here in this letter.
See, the thing is this, right? Crazy people don't think they crazy. They think they regular than everybody else crazy. And that's where I differ a little, because sometimes I read back over the shit and I'll be like, man, this crazy. You can't say that shit to her, you know? And you know what really had me aware of this? My mom. I would write my mom and she would send me my letter back. She's like, man, look at this shit you just said to me. Why are you talking like this? She said, I know I used to beat you, but damn, if you're going to ask for some money, at least say something nice first, you know? And so I got to be careful. Can't just be real, you know?
Unauthorized items within inmate mail. Musical greeting cards, padded envelopes or cardboard containers, videos, CDs, or cassette tapes, cardstock, sketch pads, construction paper, or colored paper.
Authorized items within inmate mail. Incoming mail must weigh less than 13 ounces. Checks / money orders with inmate's name and CDCR number. Writing paper, white and yellow lined only. 40 postage stamps or 40 pre-stamped envelopes.
Cash,
letters,
pens,
greeting cards,
pencils,
photographs, no larger than 8x10.
Photos, drawings, magazine articles, and or pictorials displaying frontal nudity of either gender are not allowed.
New York. True or false? Guys use the mail to get people to send them stuff.
That is true. That's definitely what I do to get packages and stuff like that. But mostly I use the mail to express my love, nah?
Dear loved one, I love you so much, and I just happen to be out of food right now. So I was wondering if... Why are you laughing,
Nah? Heavy-handed.
You have to express your love.
Subtle.
I just got to the level 4 from reception. This is my first time in prison. So, you know, and they come through and they're passing out mail. And police come around. And he comes to the door and he's like, Williams. I'm like, yeah. And I look up and he's handing this envelope in through the side of the door. First piece of prison mail I ever got. And I was excited about that letter, too.
This is my boy, Michael Williams. He told us a story about using the mail to get someone to send him a little something something.
So I get up and I grab the envelope, and I just saw the first name, Karen. And I have a friend named Karen. I hadn't been writing Karen since I've been down. So I just rip it open and I'm reading it. And that's when it was like, oh, I miss my white knight. And I'm jonesing for my German lessons. And then I was like, wait a minute. That's when I go back and I look at the front of the envelope. And it's not her last name. That's when I see the swastikas and the white power written all over the envelope. And I said, oh, it's not me. And I look and it says Michael Williams, but there's no CDC number, there's no cell number. And I said, oh, they got me mixed up with someone else. I kept thinking too, like, man, these police are setting me up. They seen all these swastikas on this envelope. But, you know, my brain gets to twirling and I was like, write her back. I'm finna get the snack money.
By snack money, he means...
he means he wants to get her to put some money on his books.
Mm-hmm.
So he could buy some Zoom Zooms and some Wham Whams and, you know, chips and whatnot.
But first, he's got to convince her that he is her white knight.
You know, at the time I was 25 and fresh off the streets and I thought I was a ladies' man. And as I was writing this letter and I said, okay, when I get the money, I'm going to write her back and say, aha, I'm black.
That was the plan. But Michael quickly realized there were some obstacles between him and his Wham Whams.
I said, oh, she might notice the handwriting is different. So I put in the letter. I said, my celly is writing this letter for me. I hurt my hand playing handball. Send me in the woods some snack money.
Send him and the woods some snack money. I know what woods are, but I'm going to ask you to explain this one.
I did some research, Nod.
Okay, good.
Woods are white people.
Oh, really? Tell me more.
Well, it comes from pecker woods,
uh-huh.
Which was a derogatory term that they called poor whites in the South.
Mm.
But now, in California prisons, the word has actually been embraced by a lot of white guys.
So it's not necessarily derogatory now.
Right.
I learned this word, you know, woods, or the woods, and so I said, I got to put that in there. I said, he's a good wood. And I don't hear from her for like 2 months. And I said, oh, she must figure me out. But then I get another letter. Ain't no money, though. And she's like, oh, I'm going to send you some pictures. You know, I've been out. I got a nice tan. And she put her phone number in there. And she said, call me. I cannot wait to hear your voice. And she still said, I want my German lessons. And I was like, well, I can sound white, you know. And I was thinking, like, if I call him, like, hey, dude, what's going on with you, man? Hey, bro. But I'm caught when she says, give me my German lesson. And if I even go to the library and look up some words, I ain't going to know how to pronounce them. And I write her back again, and I'm like, you know, send the snack money. Send the snack money for me in the woods. We should try to get some snack money. After that, she never wrote back. So I said, well, there goes that hustle.
Hey, what, once you've been down long enough, you get like the sixth sense about stuff, you know? Somehow you could just feel when the cop was close to dishing it out, you know? The mail!
Mail, mail.
Because hearing your name called during the mail call, it's like a small bit of healing for your broken soul, you know? The bottom line was feeling like somebody gave a damn. And so when I was reaching out so much and was getting so few responses, it was really messing me up. And then I worked my way down the list, you know what I mean? And the people that are ignoring me are people that I would have jumped in front of a bullet for. Half-assed, didn't get no responses, and had one chick send me a picture of her burning one of my letters. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm tough, and I'm hardcore, and I'm on this yard, and this is not the place to say my feelings is hurt. You know what I'm saying? Because these people are neglecting me.
New York, earlier we said that prison is the last place where writing letters is still a practice art. But even here,
it is not what it once was.
My own mama won't write me back. I love writing Nodge.
Yeah.
But every time I ask people why they don't write me back, they tell me things like there's no mailboxes on the corners anymore.
It's true.
And then I say, send me some pictures, send me some pictures. And they're like, well, they're in my phone. I got to get them out the phone.
That's because people are sitting on them. They are sitting on their pictures.
They never print them out. I never get the pictures.
I know. It's really hard. And I'll tell you, I hardly write letters anymore. It's all email and fucking Slack. But I did write one recently.
Who did you write, Nodge?
Okay, this is really cool. You know how we have listeners send us letters?
Yeah.
Well, we got this letter from a woman whose son is serving time in a prison in Thailand.
Ouch.
Yeah, and this prison is really harsh. They have no TV and no radio. And she actually sends him transcripts of Ear Hustle, and he reads them out loud to all the English-speaking guys who are incarcerated there.
Wow.
So I wrote her back, thanking her for listening and for sending the transcripts to her son. Now, that was a letter worth writing.
Shout out to the guys in Thailand, man.
I can't wait till they read that in the transcript. Thanks to everyone who spoke to us about the importance of mail. Eric Womack, Terry Kitchen, Michael Williams, Jesse Vasquez.
And Kurt Davis and Timothy Hicks for reading us their letters.
Special thanks to Artwork for giving us his take on mail.
And that was some take.
Oh, yeah. And much thanks to Lee Jaspar and Antoine Williams for reading those prison mail do's and don'ts.
Ear Hustle is produced on the inside by myself, Rahsaan New York Thomas, Nigel Poor, Pat Macedi Miller, and John Yaya Johnson.
And on the outside by Erlon Woods and Bruce Wallace.
This episode was scored with music by Antoine Williams, David Jossi, and E. Phil Phillips.
Aaron Wade is our digital producer.
Curtis Fox is our senior producer. Julie Shapiro is our executive producer for Radiotopia.
And we want to thank Warden Ron Davis. And as you know, every episode has to be approved by this guy here.
Voice message received at 2:44 a.m. today.
This is Lieutenant Sam Robinson of San Quentin State Prison. There are some episodes of Ear Hustle that really amuse me. I get a picture of the characters that I've experienced every day during my career here. And I will say that in the mailroom piece, the one person who really sticks out to me, and he's like that every day, is Artwork. He's a party all by himself. And so, bravo to Ear Hustle. And I will say, as usual, this is Lieutenant Sam Robinson, and I approve this episode.
Check out our website, earhustlesq.com. where you can sign up for our newsletter, see pictures of people in our stories, and it's also a place where you can buy Ear Hustle sticker packs, mugs, and our brand new t-shirt, which is completely different from the original one. So check it out. Also, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Ear Hustle SQ.
This podcast was made possible with support from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, working to redesign the criminal justice system by building power and opportunity for communities impacted by incarceration.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collection of the best podcasts around. Hear more at radiotopia.fm.
I'm Rahsaan New York Thomas.
And I'm Nigel Poor. Thanks for listening.
You know, asking somebody to write is like saying, I want you to take a chisel and take the stone tablet, take it back and get to work, you know?
Radiotopia. From PR.